Right, it's Bob Simpson on 1-2-3, and it's great to welcome back Brian Hughes, consultant solicitor of Shenfield-based Rayner Hughes. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Yes.
Nice to be here.
Yes. We've got a bit of rain coming this afternoon, maybe. Are you a gardener?
No.
You're not a gardener?
I've got a garden.
Right, okay. Well, I've been sneakily watering my plants. Not the lawn, because I think
that's
too much.
But I've been doing the same.
Yeah. Got to keep them going, haven't you? Anyway, today we're going to be talking about the dreaded R word. That's redundancy. But not just redundancy, but other reasons why someone might lose their job or be fired. But perhaps we could start with redundancy. Even the word itself results in a cold feeling down your spine, doesn't it? It's a very stressful time for people. What, if any, courses of action are open to you if you are made redundant?
The statutory rules governing redundancy ensure that for a genuine redundancy, the employer must be able to prove that the employee's job will no longer exist.
Right.
They must also make statutory payments of 1.5 weeks pay for each full year after one's 41st birthday, 1 week's pay each year after one's 22nd birthday up to the age of 41, and half a week's pay for each year up to 22 years of age. But don't get carried away.
Right.
The maximum redundancy payment is £508 a week, and the maximum redundancy award is £15,240, because length of service is capped after 20 years.
Right.
Because paying statutory redundancy still leaves an employer liable to an employment tribunal claim, employers now incorporated into a settlement agreement which covers any form of termination of employment.
Right. They seem to have toughened up the regulations on haven't they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is a settlement agreement?
Well, put quite simply, it's a legally binding contract which can be used to terminate an employment on agreed terms. Prior to 1996, an employer could dismiss an employee, and there was not a great deal an employee could do about it.
Right.
If an employee considered the dismissal unfair and in breach of the employee's contract of employment, he or she could take the employer to a court if they had the time, the money, and the inclination to do so and try to recover compensation. But how many people at the end of the day would want to go back to a firm that had dismissed him or her?
Quite, yeah.
And what prospective employer would be interested in a job applicant who'd taken his or her previous employers to court and had been awarded damages against them? A prospective employer might think twice about taking on somebody like that.
Yeah.
But in 1996, two important pieces of legislation, the Employment Rights Act and the Employment Tribunals Act, came into force. The first set out in a coherent manner the rights of employees in the workplace, but in spite of this, employers remained in an advantageous position. The Employment Tribunals Act sought to rectify this by establishing tribunals which offered an easy and inexpensive way for an employee to make a claim and be awarded compensation if those rights had been breached in any way.
Right. So can you give us an idea of what sort of claims these tribunals deal with?
Basically, breaches of employment rights.
Okay.
There are all sorts of claims an employee can make against an employer, and there are many reasons why an employer should not be dismissing someone or is terminating their employment in the wrong way.
Right. Can you give us a few examples?
Well, obvious ones might include harassment, bullying and intimidation,
right,
including the use of offensive words or aggressive behaviour. Other examples would be physical assault or the threat of physical assault and other criminal behaviour, victimisation, sex discrimination, or dismissal on the grounds of race, religion, pregnancy and maternity.
Right.
Also, some employers try to get rid of whistleblowers or make their lives a misery. These employers lay themselves open to claims by employees for substantial compensation. Mm. Basically, anything which forced someone to resign would be considered to be constructive dismissal,
yeah,
which would result in compensation being awarded. And another example, ironically, is forcing an employee to accept a settlement agreement by putting undue pressure on the employee to accept one.
Yeah, yes.
So you've got to be so careful.
Absolutely. So this legislation, by the sound of it, it greatly strengthens the position of the affected employee.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In an employment tribunal, in an employment tribunal, it's up to the employer to prove that they have not breached the Employment Rights Act or other related statutory legislation and will stick to the letter of the law in relation to consultations or warnings when terminating someone's employment, whether it be for the employee's behaviour or because the employer can no longer afford to employ the employee. The employer can often face having to pay an employee a lot of money, however justified the employer may be. I know of a case, for example, where an employee claimed for hours on his timesheets when he was, in fact, at home watching television.
Oh, really? Oh,
this was blatantly dishonest. But when the employer found out and fired him on the spot, the employee went to an employment tribunal claiming that the employer had not been through the necessary disciplinary procedures, and he was awarded compensation.
Goodness me. So presumably employers will do all they can to avoid the employment tribunals where possible, yeah? Yes.
Defending an employment claim is not cheap, which is where settlement agreements come in, as they offer an escape route, which can also be more beneficial for the employee, since they could be seen in a better light by a prospective employer, rather than having to explain why they'd been dismissed or had claimed compensation for wrongful dismissal.
Right, okay. So, the settlement agreement, what exactly does it consist of?
The terms are generally agreed following a without prejudice consultation and are either used in the case of redundancy or in the case of unfair dismissal, where it would be too time-consuming and expensive for an employer to want to go through with a full employment tribunal.
Right. Now, this brings us back almost to where we started, since you said at the outset that paying statutory redundancy still left an employer liable to an employment tribunal. So they often incorporate a settlement agreement. So how does that work?
Well, employers now offer a cash sum called a termination payment in excess of statutory redundancy, plus pay in lieu of notice, which is called pylon, pay in lieu of notice.
Okay. Yeah.
The termination payment in lieu of statutory redundancy is tax-free up to £30,000, although tax and NIC are deducted from pylon and from any holiday pay to which an employee is entitled. In return for these payments, an employee gives up all his or her employment rights and his or her ability to claim against the employer in an employment tribunal. Pension rights, however, are not affected or waived by entering into a settlement agreement.
Yeah, now all this seems like a bit of a minefield of complexity. Anyone involved in being made redundant really ought to get some legal advice before entering into any one of these settlement agreements, shouldn't they?
Yes, they should. Yeah. Yes, they certainly should. The Employment Rights Act stipulates that an employee must obtain independent legal advice on the terms of the agreement, and that the person who gives the advice has to certify that he or she has a professional insurance indemnity policy should he or she give incorrect advice and have to be sued as a result.
Right. It all sounds very complex, as we said before, but just how complex are the settlement agreements themselves?
Well, to be valid, it must be in writing and relate to the individual complaint, and redundancy is treated as a complaint for the purposes of the Act.
Right.
And must state that the conditions relating to settlement agreements have been met in full and complied with.
So presumably, on being offered a draft settlement agreement, an employee should toddle off straight away to a solicitor who's familiar with such agreements for assessment and advice. Yeah.
That is right. Yeah. He or she should seek legal advice from someone who deals regularly with them. First off, the solicitor will advise on the proposed termination of employment date, whether the consultation period for acceptance or rejection complies with ACAS guidelines, and whether or not the employee should ask for better terms. Miserly termination payments from employers can be challenged, and as I've said, no one has to accept the terms that have been offered to them. There's often room for negotiation, especially where payment of bonuses is concerned.
Right. Well, now I imagine that one of the biggest worries, if redundancy is on the horizon, is going to be about money, really, money yep. troubles in the future. And whilst you'd want to get a good man on your side, i.e. a solicitor, people might be worried about the cost of this. So how much would it cost? Is it likely to cost them?
Usually nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because employers invariably insert in a settlement agreement the amount they're prepared to contribute towards the cost of the employee seeking legal advice.
Right.
It's usually sufficient to cover the cost of the advice. Don't forget that it's in the employer's interest to get the settlement agreement. That's why they agree to pay the employee's legal costs for getting the advice.
Right, indeed. Well, so if you are facing the prospect of redundancy, it's a good idea to get a good man on your side, someone like Brian Hughes here, yes.
Well, I do lots of them. Yeah.
Well, really, yeah. Thanks very much, Brian. That was really interesting. You'll be back again. Do you have anything in mind for your subject next time?
Well, I'm not quite sure yet, but it could well relate to extension of leases, because lots of people have 70 or 80 years left on their leases.
Right.
And they have a statutory right to... an extension of their leases, and a lot of people don't know that.
Okay, right.
So I might talk about that.
All right, I'm interested in that myself. I'll make sure I listen in. Yeah. All right, Brian. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming in, and we'll see you next time.
Great pleasure, Bob.